ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಕಪಿ ಜಾನ ಸೋರ್ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಸೋರ್ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ. Don't forget to sing. Jasodanandana braja jana ranjana. Jasodanandana braja jana ranjana.
Paramahansa Padipadakacharya Asatara Satashu Shivana's Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premji Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vas Hari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan dam ki jai. Mathura dam ki jai. Navadweep dam ki jai. Jagannath Puri dam ki jai. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Jamuna mai ki jai. Ganga mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamitamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivrishesha Sunivari Paschatya Desatarani. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 8. The chapter is called Questions by King Parikshit. We're on text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we say that before we every class, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do you know why we say that? Yes, what would you like to say? Because just say it a little bit louder. We're starting from Krishna. We're starting to hear about Krishna, yes. And what would you like to say?
That,
Thank you. We're offering our obeisances to Lord Balaram. That's very nice. We always like to offer our obeisances to Balaram because he's Adi Guru. He's the guru. He's the original teacher. Lord Vasudev specifically, because there's all different names of Krishna that have specific pastimes or functions, or they give us specific help. So Lord Vasudev is the Lord of consciousness. And we're praying to Lord Vasudev to enlighten our consciousness so that we can hear about him and remember him and glorify him. So that's why we say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then we usually say, and if you know this, you can say it with me, Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tumashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, Divya Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And we always like to acknowledge that we're offering our obeisances and respects and gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, who translated it. Because if we just heard it in Sanskrit, very few of us would have an understanding of what it was. And if we had the translation, but not the explanation, then it would be really hard to understand. But Prabhupada's given us the translation and the explanation, what it means. And I'm giving you a little warning. This verse is a very philosophical verse, like way up here. And it has a purport that's this long. So sometimes that's a little hard to concentrate. So take a little minute there to pray to Lord Vasudev that we can concentrate, okay? You and I. Hare Krishna. Okay, Omagena Timidandasya, Jananjana Salakaya, Chaksu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. My problem is I was born in the darkness of ignorance. And that's pretty dark. And you don't really know what the goal of life is, and you just think, I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. But it doesn't get you anywhere. So I was born in ignorance, but Srila Prabhupada came, and when I read his books and when I heard about it, I could understand. I was missing a few things, and he kind of opened my eyes. Oh, you're missing the real goal of life. You're missing real happiness. The real goal of life is to understand you're a servant of Krishna. And if you try to act in that way, then you'll be happy. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. I'm totally indebted to you for doing that. And I beg that somehow or other, in spite of the fact that I'm a little spaced out, that I'll be able to engage in service forever and ever and ever. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, here's our verse, text 21. Okay, who can remember what the chapter title is? The chapter title. Yes. Wow, yay, good. Questions from King Parikshit. Right, Canto 2, Chapter 8. Okay, here's our verse. Samplava sarvabhutanam.
Samplava
sarvabhutanam.
Vikrama
pratisankrama. Vikrama pratisankrama. Ishta purtasya kamyanam.
Ishta purtasya kamyanam.
Trivargasya chayo vidhi. Trivargasya chayo vidhi. Samplava sarvabhutanam. Vikrama pratisankrama. Ishta purtasya kamyanam. Trivargasya chayo vidhi. Would some elders like to chant? Respected elders. Samplava sarvabhutanam. Vikrama Pratisankrama. Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam. Trivargasya Chayo Vidihi. Samplava Sarva Bhutanam. Vikrama Pratisankrama. Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam. Trivargasya Chayo Vidhi. Students. Samplava Sarva Bhutanam. Vikrama Prati Sankrama. Samplava Sarva Bhutanam. Vikrama Prati Sankrama. Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam. Trivargasya Chayo Vidhi. Samplava Sarva Bhutanam. Vikrama Pratisankrama. Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam. Trivargasya Chayo Vidhi. Samplava. The perfect means or complete devastation. Sarva Bhutanam. Of all living beings. Vikrama, specific power or situation. Pratisankrama, ultimate destruction. Ishta, performance of Vedic rituals. Purtasya, pious acts in terms of religion. Kamyanam, rituals for economic development. Trivargasya, the three means of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Cha, also. Ya, whatsoever. Vidhi, procedures. Okay, so here comes the complicated part. Here's the translation. So this is Parikshit. He's only got a few more days to live, probably about 7, because it's just in the beginning of the book. So he's got 7 days to live, and he's asking millions of questions. In fact, this whole chapter, obviously, questions by King Parikshit. We're on text 21, and he's still asking questions. So here's his question for the day. Please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. So that's one of them. Explain that. How are the living beings born or manifested? How do they come into embodiment? How are they maintained? And how are they annihilated? Then he says, tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. Now that's a little unusual, isn't it? Have you ever thought of what the disadvantages are of performing devotional service? Prabhupada's going to talk about it in the whole purport. Actually, it means offenses that one makes, and that slows you down in your progress. But anyway, we'll get to that. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites? And what are the procedures of religion, economic development, and sense gratification? Just what I bet you were wanting to hear when you came into the temple this morning, right? So now I'm going to read the whole thing without me interrupting it. Please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. Tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites? And what are the procedures of religion, economic development, and sense gratification? So hang in there. Here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. And guess what? There's going to be a test at the end. So make sure you listen, okay? So here's what he says. Samplava, in the sense of perfect means, is employed to denote the discharge of devotional service, and pratisamplava means just the opposite, or that which destroys the progress of devotional service. So that's the first part of the question that he's asking. What, you know, tell me, well, actually, that's not that. That's the part where he's asking. Tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages. Prabhupada goes right there. What are the advantages and disadvantages? And what does that mean, that phraseology, advantages and disadvantages? One might think, after today's kirtan, some people might be thinking the disadvantage of the devotional service is that sometimes you have to sing into the microphone. And I don't want to do that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if we make offenses in the path of in our devotional service, if we're disrespectful or if we do this or do that or something to devotees, then that slows our progress down. So that's a disadvantage to us, because we could be making progress at 60 miles an hour, and instead we're in slow motion here, 20 miles an hour. It's going to take us a long time to get to Gainesville, what to speak of. Get back to the spiritual world. If you're only going 20 miles an hour, it slows you down. Okay, so, purport. One who is firmly situated in devotional service of the Lord can very easily execute the function of conditioned life. Living the conditional life is just like plying a boat in the middle of the ocean. What does plying a boat mean? What does that mean in your own words? Yes?
Anchoring.
Not quite anchoring. Plying. Someone else? But thank you for that very good guess. Plying a boat. It's moving. It's moving, and the waves, maybe you want to go that way in your boat, but the waves are pushing you this way and that way, so you have to go eep, 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 eep. You have to go zigzag in order to get where you want to go. So that's plying. So, I'm going to read the sentence again. Living the conditioned life is just like plying a boat in the middle of an ocean. In other words, we could translate that in our language. It ain't easy to live in the world. There's always things that come up. You want to do X, Y, Z, and all of a sudden you broke your leg. You can't do it. Or you want to do this, that, and the other thing, and all of a sudden an earthquake happens. And so, you know, and your whole life is just all discombobulated. So, but you have to go with what they say, go with the flow. And what's the important thing to do? If you want to get to the end of the room, you have to keep your mind on the go. That's where I want to go, over to that corner. Now there's just happens to be 75 people in the way, so I have to go this way and that way, and I don't step on that person in this way, and maybe I have to go over here a little bit. But my goal is that corner. So what does that translate to us in devotional service? Our goal is to go back to Godhead. We have to keep that firmly in mind. And we have to go to school, and we have to eat our lunch, and we have to whatever, whatever, go to soccer practice and whatever. And then we have to do so many different things, but what's our goal? You have to keep your goal in mind. Yes, what's your goal?
To get back to God.
Thanks, that's our goal. And so you have to keep that in mind, even though you have to go to school and you might not feel like going to school today. I don't know why. Or whatever, you know? You have to keep that in mind. Our goal is to go back to Godhead. And so what's going to help us do that? Let's listen in and see what else Prabhupada says. So remember he's saying it's the example of plying a boat in the middle of, not just the shore, not just like you go off 20 feet and you're in a boat, you know, nuh-uh. You're in the middle, you're halfway between New York and London. Ew, okay? That's a lot of ocean, right? Okay, so one is completely at the mercy of the ocean, and at every moment There's a chance of being drowned in the ocean by a slight agitation. True, huh? Especially if you were in a rowboat. You're halfway between New York and London. I don't know how you would have got there in a rowboat, but let's just say you are. Just, you know, a medium-sized ocean wave is probably to the top of the ceiling here, and that's, like, scary. So that's what he's saying. Living in the material world has got all sorts of ups and downs. It's scary. Okay, what else is he going to say? But if the atmosphere is all right, the boat can ply very easily, undoubtedly. But if there's a storm, fog, wind, or cloud, there's every possibility of being drowned in the ocean. Every possibility. No one can control the whims of the ocean, however one may be materially well equipped. What if you had a really good rowboat? In a storm in the ocean? Fat chance, right? No one can control the whims. One who has crossed the ocean by ship may have sufficient experience of such dependence upon the mercy of the ocean. Ding! Does that ring a bell? One who has crossed the ocean by a ship might have sufficient experience. Who can you think of that might have done that? Srila Prabhupada, right? That's what you're going to say too, right? You're all right. Yeah, you're correct. Prabhupada crossed the ocean, so he had first-hand experience. He's not just like giving some theory. Oh, theoretically crossing the ocean can be dangerous. Nuh-uh. He's knowing it because he did it. And the ocean was very calm. But what happened on the ocean? Probably because of the, what's that called? Anyway, the motion that makes you seasick. That's what he got, seasick a lot. It was difficult. But Prabhupada's saying, that's what life is like. Life is difficult. There's so many unexpected things. And some of the things are expected, but a lot of them are unexpected, and it's difficult. So again, one take-home point, you could say, would be we have to keep our mind on what our goal is, or we'll never get there. It all depends on the will of the Lord. No one can help if there's some unfortunate danger in the state of conditional life. Should I read that again? Or you already got that, right? It all depends on the will of the Lord. No one can help if there's some unfortunate danger in the state of conditional life. So does that mean if somebody's really suffering that God's not helping them? Because that could be a question, right? I have a friend who just broke their leg. Does that mean God's mad at them? Let's want to talk about that for a bit. Do you understand that? Anyone want to add some thought-provoking? Yes. It's just your karma. It's just your karma, Prabhu. Right, because you've done. Don't worry, you broke your leg. It's just your karma. It's totally true. Because what are we saying? Thank you for that nice answer. So what are we saying? We're saying that everything that we do has a reaction. In other words, we're not thinking it's his fault. It's her fault. It's my mother's fault. It's my teacher's fault? They don't think that. No. Or whatever, that I'm having a hard time. You know what they think? The devotee who really, as they say, has their head on their shoulders, he thinks, oh, this is due to something that I've done. And Krishna is so kind. He's just giving me a little wake-up call. Little one. And then I don't have to suffer that reaction, a little one, not a big one. I don't have to suffer that anymore. And sometimes when something good happens, does that mean that God really likes you? Or Krishna really likes you? It does mean that, but he likes you in the bad times too. But it also means that he's also, due to our karma, or past activities, he's giving us a little reaction on the positive side because we must have done something positive. So how do we keep all that in proper balance? We realize, this is one of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. You want to know one of the glories of Bhagavatam? I'm going to tell you. One of the multi-glories of Bhagavatam is it brings a proper perspective of what I do, or what I'm going through is my doing. I'm not looking for the perfect situation or to blame somebody else or this or that. I'm seeing that I'm in this situation because of my doing. And Krishna is so kind that he's giving me little bits, sometimes little wake-up slaps, and sometimes little candies or burfies or whatever. But he's so kind. What he's doing is trying to make me realize that this material world isn't a permanent place. It isn't the place that I want to be happy in and comfortable in, and settle down in. The real place that we want to go is really, we want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Thanks. And we have to keep our mind on that goal, otherwise we'll be distracted. Okay, this purport is really long. Hare Krishna. The devotees of the Lord, however, cross the ocean of material existence without anxiety, because a pure devotee is always protected by the Lord. Without anxiety, because a pure devotee is always protected by the Lord. So they always understand that Krishna is being very kind to me, and he's giving me just a little bit of what I deserve, but he's always directing me to his lotus feet. The Lord gives special attention to his devotees with their activities within the material conditioned life. Therefore, everyone should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and be a pure devotee of the Lord by all means. So when we were talking about karma, in the way the majority of people get their karma in the material world is by the workings, the machine, the mechanism of material nature. X amount of good things bring X amount of good result. X amount of bad things bring X amount of bad result. It's mechanical. It happens for most people like that. But for a devotee, it's not like that. For a devotee, a simple endeavor to please Krishna, who's trying to please Krishna, gets all help from the Lord, extra help. And a devotee who has some X amount of bad karma to burn off, the Lord custom fits it. He customizes it. He doesn't just give you the Walmart brand of the 9,999 million people get that brand. He gives you a special brand of something or other, to help you go back to Godhead. Narottam, what would you like to say or ask? A story? Can we get a microphone for the story that he's about to tell? No, you don't have to tell, but I'm a bad repeater, so we're going to give you the microphone. Is that okay with you? Thanks. How to check on that.
So there's a story our teacher told us where there's two brothers. One was a really good devotee, and one was a really bad devotee.
Wasn't a devotee at all.
And then once they were walking, and the good devotee like kicked a stone and it really hurt his foot, and then the bad brother, he found a good coin on the ground. He's like, "Oh, I got a coin," and then he was really confused because all that happened.
Yeah.
But then a sadhu came by and he asked the good brother asked the sadhu why, and Sadhu said, "Because Krishna is very merciful. He gave all of your bad luck in just one kit, and he gave all of your brothers good luck in just one coin."
Wow.
The story is way longer.
Way longer. But that's a good gist of the story, a good summary. He's right behind you. Thank you. Thank you, Narottam, for sharing that. Yeah, Krishna, and the thing is about Krishna is he can do anything. He can do anything. Like, we're a little bit limited, have you noticed? We're a little bit limited about what we can do. You might want to be, the best soccer player? Or you might want to fly. Thanks, that's a good one. We might want to fly, and you might be able to do that if you got those little flying things and you got pulled by a motorboat behind and gliding and blah, blah, blah. But if the rope gets cut, you ain't gliding for very long, you know? You know, so we might want to do different things, but we're limited. But Krishna can do anything, and not only can he do anything for you, he can simultaneously do it for 10 million, 100 quadrillion other people simultaneously, even though it's all different, better things. He's not limited. He has a very big memory, and he's not limited by, I can't remember what your name is, what did you say your name was? Oh, he's not limited like we're limited. Anyway, so Krishna can custom fit all of those things. Okay, one should know therefore from the expert spiritual master the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service, just as Maharaj Parikshit asked his spiritual master, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So here's the thing that about Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a lot of, how many of you know what concentric circles are already? Oh, good. Okay, good. So concentric circle. So there's a lot of concentric conversations in the Bhagavatam. So here we have concentric circles here, a brief non-mathematical description of concentric circles, or circles within circles within circles that don't touch each other. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation. It's a conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, right? Kind of, sort of, right. But it's also, what are we listening to now? We're listening to the conversation of a person who was listening, who was there when Maharaj Parikshit was, or when Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Maharaj Parikshit. We're listening to to Sutta Goswami. So this is going to get complicated, okay? Sutta Goswami, he heard it, and now he's telling his 85,000 friends in the Naimisharanya forest. He had 85,000 friends. And in Naimisharanya forest, he's telling that story that he heard from Sutta Goswami, Sukadeva and Sukha. You're right, because Sukadeva and Sukha are the same. Thank you. Good thing I'm explaining things so you get a good idea, right? So he's talking with Shonaka Rishi. But there's other conversations. There's Vidura talking to Maitreya. There's this one talking to that one. There's this one talking to that one. So we're hearing all sorts of knowledge. But what is it? The word, the Sanskrit word is parampara. Do you know what that word means? Over on this side of the room? Oh, you do. Yeah, thank you. The disciplic succession. The disciplic succession. And if I were to ask you, what does disciplic succession mean? Can you tell me what it means in your words? Okay, yeah. Right. So Krishna's teaching somebody, and they're teaching somebody, and they're teaching somebody. Now, here's another question. Now think of an example in your life today of that very disciplic succession. Because we're thinking, perhaps a person could think, oh, disciplic succession, that's for religious things. Ew. You know, a person could think like that, okay? But what are you... Is there a practical example in your life right now, whether you're between 8 and 10 years old, or 12 and 15, or some other place in the scale? Yes, dear.
So, there might be like a recipe that your mother knows, that her mother knows.
Yeah. And you make it. And if you make it and if you follow the... Good. So, just for the audience who's not here's sake, she was giving... What's your name? Subhadra, yeah, thanks. Subhadra was giving the example. There might be a recipe that your mother knows and you're giving, and she told you, and she learned it from her mother, and if you make that recipe according to what her grandmother told her and then what your mother told you, and you make it out, and it should come out right. And if you don't have all the ingredients and you don't follow the recipe, then you might get an adverse effect. So in other words, now what does that mean here? That means that our knowledge that we're getting, it's not just made up knowledge. It's not that somebody just sat in the back room and said, oh, I'm going to write this book. Nuh-uh. This knowledge, as little Prabhu was telling me, it's coming from Krishna. It's all coming from Krishna. And he gives it to his representatives or his devotees, and they explain to someone else, and they explain. And then we're hearing that. There's a great advantage to that. Can you think of some advantages to that? Can you think of the advantage? Just like... Technically, there's Aroha Panta and Avaroha Panta, the path of descending knowledge and the path of sending knowledge up and down. Knowledge up and down. Knowledge is coming down. So this is the path of descending knowledge. Perfect knowledge, handed down, handed down, handed down, handed down. Can you think of some advantages or disadvantages of when knowledge is starts down on the bottom and you try to discover whether this is that, and you just try to discover if that's right, and you just try to discover the origin of the moon? And can you think of any disadvantages of that? Hold on. Let's give someone else a chance, but it probably you'll get to answer it. Hold on. Disadvantages of us sending knowledge. Yes, dear. Can you remind me what your name? No, I'm teasing. Go ahead.
It takes a lot of time.
Trial and error, and a lot of error. Yeah, trial and error. You try, yeah. But if you have a perfect source, and he gave it to a perfect person, you know, he gave it to someone who really imbibed it, understood it, and that person gave it, and that handed it down, then it saves so much time. And that's what Prabhupada's telling us. And so what is he telling us specifically? He's telling us that this process of devotional service is sure and perfect. And if you'd follow the recipe, thanks Subhadra, if you follow the recipe, add 2 cups of chanting Hare Krishna and 3 cups of obeisances and 4 cups of prasadam, sugar, which means sugar translated, then you'll come out with a happy person. Yay! And you don't even have to cook so long either. It's a really quick recipe. Okay? So this is like the practical application of these things. Sometimes we hear philosophy. If I read this whole purport, I think a lot of you would be asleep by now, because it's hard to imbibe philosophy in big doses. But if you try to apply what does it mean to you and what does it mean to me and how am I going to take advantage of this information, then it gets a little more interesting. Okay, Sukadev Goswami. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, okay, here's the really hard question. Who knows who wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Subhadra, you do? Go ahead. Rupa Goswami. And you know what Prabhupada, when he read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and he wrote another book, do you know which book he wrote based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Nectar Devotion. Good. Correct. So, Srila Rupa Goswami wrote this hard book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada translated it for us into Nectar Devotion. And it's the science of devotional service. It says there, okay, here's a whole bunch of rules and regulations. One should not eat more than he requires to maintain his body and soul together. Vegetable diets and milk are sufficient for maintenance of the human body. And therefore, one has no need to eat anything more to satisfy the palate. One should not accumulate money to become puffed up in the material world. One should earn his livelihood easily and honestly, for it is better to become a coolie, not a guru coolie, but it's good to become a guru coolie. It's better to become a coolie for an honest living than to become a great man in society by hook or by crook. What does that mean in your words? Veda, I just recognize your voice and your face and everything. So, not your voice, sorry. Veda, picking on you. Thank you. It's easier, or one could say it's even better, but you're right. It's easier to do a simple job honestly than to do a specially fancy job and cheat others and this and that. And why is that? Because there's action and reaction, as we heard about karma, whoever it was, he moved his seat. And we heard about karma. There's action and reaction for everything that we do. So when one lives a very complicated life with high materialistic goals, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's, in order to achieve those goals, one has to work in a certain way to get there. And that could possibly divert one's attention from going back to Godhead. Okay, so here Prabhupada says, there's no harm if one becomes the richest man in the world by honest dealings, but one should not sacrifice the honest means of livelihood simply to accumulate wealth. Such an endeavor is harmful to devotional service. One should not talk nonsense. A devotee's business is to earn the favor of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee should always glorify the Lord in his wonderful creations. So this is here, we're getting little, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And sometimes you think, oh my gosh, so many rules and regulations. Don't sit with your back to the deities, don't put your books on the floor, pick up your beads, don't eat with your left hand, blah, 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 blah. So many things you think, oh my gosh, this is so hard. It's just like, all it is the society for rules and regulations. Do you ever think like that? A little bit, every now and then? But let's take a different example. What if you were learning to, what if you were trying to learn the Madanga? Are there some rules and regulations about learning, or, you know, positive things to do when you're learning the Madanga? You guys have to tell me because I never learned. Narjam.
Practice.
Is it, do you always feel like practicing? Like always. Sometimes you do, because sometimes you really like to make that noise, you know, or, you know, nice beats, I mean to say. But, you know, but the more you practice, the better. Now, I have noticed Prahlad sometimes puts up these little stirrups on the rafters of the little store, the ex-storeroom over there, so that they do pull-ups, they're practicing pull-ups. Now, that seems odd, doesn't it? You want to play Madanga, why do you have to do pull-ups? A, Veda?
Stretching your arm,
building up strength in your arms too, for endurance. I mean, it's one thing if you lead a kirtan or play Madanga in a kirtan for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but what if you were in 24-hour kirtan, or even a half an hour or an hour kirtan? You have to have stamina and strength. So there are rules and regulations. The point that I'm trying to make is the correlation, the connection between the rules and regulations of executing devotional service, and there's rules and regulations for other things in life too. It's because those things, like if you had strong arms, and then you could play longer and louder, that's important, loud is very important for Madanga, and et cetera, et cetera, then you become better at what you're doing. Similarly, if you, there's this rule and this suggestion and that suggestion, and don't talk nonsense, and don't eat non-vegetarian food, and don't do this, and do that, and do this, and taken just like as a pile of rules and regulations, it gets a little hard to digest. But if you take it and you look at it from the perspective of, oh, these things will help me progress better, and then I'll be a Sukhi Nara. You want to be a Sukhi Nara? Sukhi means happy, Nara, human being. You'll be a happy new human being, a Sukhi Nara. That's in Bhagavad Gita. You'll be a happy human being because we'll be in aligned in accordance with what's good for the real us, not just the external shell us. There's two more pages. I'll just, you know. Okay, now here gets some. A devotee should not decry the creation of the Lord, defying him, saying that he has created a false world. Decry, what does decry mean? Somebody who hasn't answered yet. What does decry mean? Surya? I just happened to glance your way. Decry? Can you guess by what it's saying? One should not decry the creation of the Lord, defying him, saying that he has created a false world. Means criticize. One shouldn't criticize the Lord. Why has he made this world? It's so false. It's false. No. Prabhupada says, the world is not false. Factually, we have to take so many things from the world for our maintenance. So how can we say that the world is false? Similarly, how can one think of the Lord as being without form? This is a favorite point of Srila Prabhupada. It might seem like it really doesn't go with the flow of this paragraph, but how can one say that that the Lord has no form? How can one become formless and at the same time have all intelligence and consciousness, direct and indirect? That's Krishna. He has all intelligence, direct and indirect. How can we think that ultimately the absolute truth is formless, it's a white light, it's this, it's powerful? No, that's there. There is that white light, that force, etc., that's there, the emanation from the Lord. But beyond that effulgence, ooh, here's a question from Sri Shapanishad. We did Sri Shapanishad with some of you guys. Okay, who can remember from last year? Nobody. Okay, yeah. Okay, time up. The Lord, the devotee praying to the Lord. I'll just tell you the answer. The devotee prays to the Lord, please remove your effulgence so that I can see your form. Because there's a form behind the effulgence. Sundari, I knew you knew that. Yeah, she remembered. Okay, I know you got to go soon, so do you want to have any comments or questions? Little guys, big guys can have it in a minute, but little personalities, comments or questions? Anything that you read? Okay, here's the hard part. You remember anything about the verse or the purport that you could take a little takeaway? Who's, I can't even.
What did you say, Ram? Don't criticize the Lord.
Oh, thanks, Ram. Thanks. Don't criticize the Lord. That's one thing. Okay. And Narottam, I was going to call on you because I knew you'd have an answer. Okay, what? Don't try to drive at 20 miles an hour if you're going on a long destination. Very good. Would you like to now say that in a devotional aspect? What does that mean?
Don't try to do something. Don't try to avoid doing something.
Good. Good. Don't try to avoid doing something for Krishna. Very good. Purushottam. Ascending and descending knowledge. What can you remember about ascending and descending? It's easier to descend. It's easier to get knowledge that comes down than it is to try to trigger it on the way up. Hold on, Narottam. Anyone on this nice side of the room? You know what? You won't be able to leave unless you remember something. So hurry up, think of something, and then you can leave. Radha. Radha.
We have to always keep a goal in mind.
Thank you. We have to always keep a goal in mind. Thank you very much. And that note, we'll ask if the big people have anything they want to say. And you guys are... Yes, Mom.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
The first word was Sampova. The perfect means are complete destruction.
Isn't that unusual?
Really different meaning.
Isn't it? And I was actually... It flashed in my mind how even in English there are... similar words, but I could. Well, it flashed in the word. It flashed in my mind, but I couldn't think of an example that didn't flash in my mind. Can you think of an example of words in English that have totally different opposite meanings?
Cleave.
Cleave. Would you like to define cleave?
Cleave is the separating cut. It's a cleave to get you can cleave something together as well.
Thank you. So now, thanks. That answers your very own question. Depending on how you're using it in the word, whether you want to cut something and cleave it in half, which sounds like almost like a butcher type of thing, sounds like. Or if you want to bring it together, you're cleaving, merging, whatever the word is, two things. So depending on, there's another very famous word, and then I'll end here. There's the word Atma. Atma means self, Atma means mind, Atma means body, Atma means many different things. It means the little individual, Anu. Where's Anu? Is he here? Okay. Oh, Hare Krishna. Anu. Anu means the little individual, you know, the jiva. And then there's Param Anu, the super Lord. So Anu is not just Anu, because Anu has a Paramanu inside him. Hare Krishna, Paramatma. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your attention. There's more to the purport. If you want to stay till 12 o'clock, I'll read the rest of the purport. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Rama. So I didn't mean to leave out the older crowd. If you wanted to make a comment, you may, or a question. Sorry. Otherwise, we'll go. Jai, Hari Bol.
I have it.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
So we are follower of descending process or our disciplic succession. In Bhagavatam 11th canto, 7th chapter, Krishna says, out of 8,400,000, he loves the human being. And he gives a reason, because human has a developed intelligence, he can reflect, so many reasons he gives. So my question is, then one of the sloka he said, to in a human form, your first guru is yourself. So how come descending we are giving so much importance and ascending is as if like a not a issue even, or is not important at all? But Krishna gave that first you have to be have a preliminary desire to have a self-realization.
Yeah, it does.
So if the soul has to have a preliminary desire, soul has to have so many, that means it's ascending also.
Sesha Prabhu is gonna answer that question, I think. If, or at least start off on it, if you don't mind. No? Okay. How about Pundarik Prabhu? Any comments, Pundarik?
No.
Well, that's the way I feel too. I don't have any comments. Sorry. Madhumati, what would you like to say to that question? Okay, I have another solution. Pran Govinda Prabhu, how would you like to answer that question? Or some thoughts you have on that question?
I'm saying both, because when I look at many Prabhupada's purport, one of them is 4.10, Vitarago Bhayakrodha. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, he cites this Rupa Goswami Pad's sloka of the gradation of bhakti. And the Shraddha, generally we think is faith, but Prabhupada writes, preliminary desire for self-realization. So it is not coming from somebody else, it has to come from me. Preliminary desire for self-realization has to be accepted, or I have to come to that point. I want self-realization. Could be due to the cause of the association, could be many, but why is so loud? So I have to come on my own decision, and then the next step, satsanga, will be ahead. So my question is, back to the same thing, descending is everything for us, but ascending is also Krishna giving very important.
Yeah, okay. That, I think that's the gist of the answer, in the sense that descending doesn't negate ascending and trying. But if someone has a preliminary knowledge for desire for self-realization and does not get the opportunity to hear from the perfect source that's descending, then very, very likely they'll be misled by imperfect senses. Thank you, Krishna. So it doesn't negate one, although one is stressed. The descending process is stressed, but the endeavor has to be there. Just, and that's, when you think it through, that's quite logical. So many times the example is that we're given that we're fallen into the a well of material existence. So somebody can come and throw down the rope. Is that what you're going to say? Okay, somebody can come and throw down the rope, and then we think, yeah, but I can't hold on to it, or I don't want to hold on to it. So, hard to bow. So we both have to be there. Thank you. Thank you for your tolerance. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.